When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Right now, I look at how the AFC is, you know, looking right now with the standings, and there is not one team in the AFC that I say they cannot beat.
Mm-hmm.
Years past, last year, year before that, whatever, you'd be like, oh, but the, you know, there's no way they're going to Buffalo. There's no way that they're going to Kansas City. Now they can match those teams point for point. They can play any way you want right now. If you want to throw the ball 50 times and 400 yards by Russell, you can do it. You can play bully ball. You can win special teams. And occasionally, although it didn't work last couple weeks, the defense could just shut you out. So they've put themselves in a very good situation of being an all-around team. Probably one of the most well-rounded teams that Tomlin's had, you know, probably in a decade.
Please excuse Mark's mumbling there at the end. Sort of trailed off there. I do think he's right, though. It's one of Mike Tomlin's most well-rounded teams. And I do think that on any given Sunday, they absolutely could beat any team in the AFC. I think if they played the Lions 10 times, all in single elimination games, I'd think that the Lions probably win 8 out of 10 or something like that.
Yeah.
But in the AFC, I think any given Sunday they could beat any of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick before I throw the topic out there, Doran, we have our Christmas karaoke coming up. Did you see this?
Yes.
And it's December 18th, 7 p.m. at Mike's Beer Bar. Do we sing that song?
Maybe.
We're going to do a duet.
Doesn't it have to be a Christmas song?
No.
Oh, it doesn't?
No. Nah.
I was about to say, we should be the black version of Michael Jackson and the white version of Michael Jackson.
I don't want to go down that path.
All right.
I want to go back. I want to pretend like I never brought up Christmas karaoke. That is December 18th, 7 p.m. It's always a good time. We hope to see you there. Okay. So Caboli says they could beat any team in the AFC. And we agree on that. Tell me one team that you wouldn't want to play in the wild card round and one team that you would love to play in the wild card round. Right now, if the season ended today, the Steelers would play the Ravens in round one, which I don't hate. But you've said numerous times it's tough to beat a team three times. I have disagreed with that, but I also never played a down of football in the NFL. So I think your argument's going to carry more weight than mine. I wouldn't mind that. The team I most want to see in the wild card round, let's start there, most and then least, is, without question, the Denver Broncos.
Yes.
Like, their defense is good. Their offense has been better. They got two pick sixes last night. They had to squeak one out against Cleveland, but the Steelers lost to Cleveland. That's a good football team. Like, they're deserving of being a playoff team. But I think Bo Nix in his first career playoff game, walking up in here against a motivated Russell Wilson, give me that all day and twice on Sundays, baby.
Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely with you. I mean, and I totally forgot until you brought it up that Russell Wilson didn't play against Denver early on in the season.
No revenge game yet.
Yeah, no revenge game. That would all day, right? All day. And you're, you know, Tomlin going against a rookie quarterback for the second time. You got, you know, some film on them too, that, and the graphics up on the screen there. Who wouldn't I want to play? Probably the Texans. And the Texans aren't as good. They're not as good this year. And they haven't been as good this year as they really were last year. Or at least C.J. Stroud hasn't. But they've been, you know, they've had some injuries. They've got Nico Collins back now. They have Tank Dell, Mechie. They have a good receiving core. They have Joe Mixon at running back. I don't know if I would want to play them. For some reason, they just, last year, that butt whooping that they put on the Steelers, I think that they would do it again for some reason.
It sticks with you.
Yeah, I don't know. I just have a weird feeling about the Texans. I know that they're not, you know, doing it as good as people probably thought they would this year, but they're right in the thick of things, and I think that they could beat somebody.
Bobby Slowick gave them problems, the offensive coordinator for Houston. That would be on the road. That would be if the Steelers didn't win the division.
Yeah.
Because they'd be the 5, and Houston probably pretty much stuck in that 4 seed, you would think. I don't know. The interior of the offensive line is so, so, so bad, and our old friend Kendrick Green, and then you look at what Cam Hayward has done all year, that would give me hope that it wouldn't look like last year, but I wouldn't go into that game confident.
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't be super confident the way I would be against Denver. Denver, look, I just said they're a deserving playoff team. You win the games that are on your schedule, right? Their strength of victory is 302. Like, they're beating up on the nobodies of the NFL.
They almost beat the Chiefs, though. They should have, I mean.
Yeah, everyone almost beats the Chiefs.
I know, but.
The Steelers are probably going to almost beat the Chiefs on Christmas, too.
So did Carolina, right?
Yeah, Carolina's right there. We just saw it. I mean, Las Vegas got screwed out of that one. I'll take Denver. The team that scares me is the Chargers.
Yeah.
They play good defense. Their offense stunk on Sunday. I mean, flat out stunk. But they made Kirk Cousins look like he had never played football before.
4 interceptions?
Yes, he threw some of the worst interceptions I've ever seen in my entire life. He threw a pick 6 on a late out route.
Yeah.
That, like, if Bo Nix threw that ball week 1, I'd have been like, okay, well, that makes some sense. For him to throw it was ridiculous. But the defense is as advertised. Like, when it came in here and they came in here, what was it, week 2 against the Steelers, I thought, all right. Or I guess 3.
3, yeah.
They haven't played anybody, and it's early, and they got good defensive statistics, but is it for real? Yeah, their defense is for real.
And Herbert was hurt that game.
Yeah, he had to come out early.
I mean, he couldn't even walk.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have played that game.
They might have won if he stuck it out. I mean, he can, and
he was
played,
healthy.
He's played better. That's why I don't like it.
Yeah.
And
that's a good call.
Yeah. I mean, so I would take Denver, and I would, if I could pick, try to avoid Los Angeles. Baltimore, I mean, I guess for your theory, the 3 times, beat them 3 times thing, you could go to Baltimore, I guess, and lose to them. Would you feel better if they lost to them?
And then had
to play them again, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
See, I wouldn't.
They would play them at home, though, right, in the playoffs? The Steelers would? Is that
yeah,
what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, let's just say it's at Acrisure. Although it makes it harder to be at Acrisure if the Ravens would hypothetically beat them in Baltimore in a couple of weeks.
So it would be down there.
Yeah.
In that scenario. I don't know.
The reason why the 3 games thing doesn't bug me is because then it would be 9 out of 10, and you could see it on Lamar's face after the game. You could see it on Harbaugh's face during the game. It's a very Ryan Day Michigan-y thing going on. Like, they outthink themselves, outcoach themselves. Lamar doesn't run as much as we're used to seeing because I think he wants to prove something. And I just think if you beat him 9 out of 10 times and then they got to come to Acrisure Stadium for a playoff game, I think that's the last possible thing that they would want. All right, 412-928-9370. Which team do you want to see the Steelers play in the first round of the playoffs in the wild card round? Which team would you least like to see the Steelers play? 412-928-9370. Here's a good text. And the text line is brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I don't want the Steelers to peak yet. It's bad to peak early. Is that a thing?
Yes. Yes. I think the Steelers in, 2005, they peaked late.
Yes.
They caught that momentum at the end of the season, and I know they got lucky a little bit. That's football. You know, there's peaking. There is definitely peaking in sports, you know, not just football, in all sports. They have to peak at the right time.
I mean, the Penguins in 2009 and 2016 are just a clear example of that.
But I still weirdly don't think that we've seen the best brand of the Steelers. I don't know why. I feel like that there's something else that's missing that I think that they'll find, which should give you hope as this final stretch does come about.
Maybe this is easier said than done, and maybe you just don't see a lot of this. But I don't know that they've put together a full offense, defense, special teams game against a quality opponent yet. Like against the Ravens, offensively they moved it, but they were awful in the red zone. They had to kick all those field goals. Defensively, they were great. Special teams-wise, they were great. But they didn't put it all together. Washington was probably the closest.
Right.
Because they held them to under all of their averages, but they still did give up 27 points.
The true test is going to be in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the barometer I think the Steelers fans should go on. And not, I mean, you never know what's going to happen in the playoffs, but the true test is what and how can you do it? Even if you do lose in Philly, how does that look against that team? Like, how does it look? Russ Stone picks and, you know, I mean, they have a good defensive backfield.
I generally hate this kind of thing, but if they went into Philly and it's a game, I think I'm okay with a moral victory there.
Absolutely.
They never win there.
Absolutely.
Philly, you want to talk about peaking. Philly's won 7 in a row. They hadn't been beating great teams in that stretch, but then who'd they get? Washington, and then they got Baltimore.
Didn't they do this last year, too? Then they got boat raced in the playoffs, though?
They went the opposite way. Oh, okay. They fell apart down the stretch. Yeah, okay, they started out real hot.
Right.
And then they couldn't cover anybody for some reason. I think they could win a Super Bowl. We're kind of jumping all over, but that's fine. I think Vic Fangio is as good of a defensive coordinator as there is in the league, and they were brutal on the back end last year, and my God, has that
young
changed.
Young players, too. I mean, DeJean and Mitchell, you know, two of their top picks. I mean, those guys have been fantastic this year.
Who's the guy who dropped Derrick Henry on the...
DeJean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That one, if you wanted to teach Crowley how to tackle...
That's textbook. Like, that should be in the textbook definition of tackling that picture or that 3 seconds.
Yeah.
It's exactly how you're supposed to tackle.
I mean, and that guy, I would have that picture framed. I put it up in my bedroom.
Yep.
And then I would turn the lights down. Never mind. 412-928-9370 is the number. Which team would you most like to see the Steelers play in the wild card round? Which team would you at least like to see them play in the wild card round? You can also tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking NFL news, Doran.
Hmm.
The guy who hit Trevor Lawrence got suspended for 3 games. That seems about right.
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah.
That was an awful hit.
Awful hit. And the NFL vice president of football operation, John Runyan, released a quote, and he said the video shows a play that considers unacceptable and a serious violation of the playing rules. You know, a lot of the time I feel like the players' union goes out of their way, and not out of their way, I mean, I guess it's the job to protect players from suspensions and things of that nature, but in this instance, you have to
protect a player from...
Yeah. I mean, and that's always kind of a weird thing for me. We see it in the NHL all the time whenever it's like Tom Wilson and he destroys somebody, hits him up in the head and neck area, and then you think about, okay, like, we don't want the precedent to be set that these guys get suspended for so long, money comes out of their hands, but then you also got to protect the fellow union members.
Mm-hmm.
That was as violent and bad a hit as we've seen in the NFL
in a long time.
And anything that happened after that, I mean, it got nasty, real nasty, I think was justified.
Yep.
And, like, put it this way, if that happened to Russ and the Steelers' offensive line and his teammates didn't do that, I'd be more offended by not having a response than having a response.
Oh, I think every single player that is in the NFL or even college would go after somebody who did that to their quarterback or did that to another player, really. You know, I mean, if you're on my team and you did that to one of my teammates, yeah, I'm going after you. And I'm cheap-shotting you, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going right...
You're trying to hurt the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you're trying to hurt the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're in the heat of the moment, emotions are going to take over. That's a natural reaction.
I saw something, too. I forget what former player said it. Was like, yeah, he definitely... what was his first name? Azir or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
He definitely wanted to get kicked out of the game because he knew if he'd have stayed in the game...
It'd be worse for him.
Worse.
So he gets kicked out of that game, and now he's not going to be able to play in the next 3. And he does have a history. This isn't his first-time offense. We've asked the question at 412-928-9370. Which team in the wild card round would you like to see come into Acrisure Stadium? Which team would you go, I'd like to avoid them? I want to see Denver, like to avoid the Chargers. Doran said Houston scares him. And I can see that with what Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud and company did to the Steelers last year. What say you, 412-928-9370? Here's a text. The only team that legitimately scares me is Buffalo. So that wouldn't obviously be in the wild card round.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm there too, man. Not that I would pick the Steelers to beat the Chiefs.
Better matchup.
Well, I think you're going to be there in the end no matter what against the Chiefs. They just let you linger. They play with their food. They let you hang around. All they do is win one score games, and that might mean they get you, but I could see you play Buffalo and it gets away from you the way other playoff games have in recent years for the Steelers. Like, they could get up 14-0 on you and you're in big trouble. Kansas City's going to keep you around. Again, doesn't mean they won't beat you. But I think you're signing up for 4 quarters against them.
Mm-hmm.
You can beat Buffalo. It's probably gonna be close against them too. But if one team is more likely to blow you out than the other, I think Buffalo is much more likely to blow you out.
Yes.
412-928-9370. Troy in Mount Washington. Hello.
What's up, guys? Good morning.
Good morning, Troy.
got a question for you guys, but first I'll answer your question. I agree with you, Crowley. I want to see the Broncos first for the revenge matchup, and I just think they're the weaker of the teams. The one team I'm afraid of coming into Acrisure Stadium is the Colts, man. If they catch a little bit of fire and get into the playoffs on the back half here, it's just something with that coach and that team. We have some trouble with them, and I'd like to avoid them at all costs. I'd rather play the Chargers or Ravens or anybody else in the Colts coming in the first round. And the question for you guys is, who do you think gives more praise, Tomlin on Tuesday to his opponents or Russ to his teammates after a game?
Oh, Thank you for the call. I don't know how much praise Tomlin's going to throw at the Browns today.
I think Tomlin gives respect to teams. I don't know if he gives the praise. I think he respects everybody because he doesn't want to take anybody lately.
Mr. Garrett.
Yes.
Mr. Jackson. Yeah.
Respect, I think, is more in line with Tomlin on Tuesdays, and Russ, you know, he's going to give praise to everybody.
Yeah.
And so is Jameis to the Lord. Well, he's trying to give praise to the Lord. If the Lord helps him with, if he does,
I know I'm better than this. I know I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
If he throws a pick six Sunday, oh my God!
If he throws a pick six Sunday, we're playing that clip at the end of our show every day until the next time the Browns beat the Steelers. Yeah. We will before we hand it off to Joe, we will do the weather and we will play that clip from now until the end if he throws a pick six. And if it's to Minka Fitzpatrick, I will take my shirt off simultaneously. I think Troy makes a good point about Indianapolis.
He does. They're getting hot. And they didn't even want to roll with Anthony Richardson. They were in turmoil with, you know, Joe Flacco benching Anthony Richardson. And now, and they have had the Steelers' number the past 2 years.
Steichen, man.
Yeah.
Steichen, man. Gardner Minshew last year shoved it up their backside. And then they had two quarterbacks do it. Steelers down 17-0 in a second. That's a good call.
That is.
I think the seven playoff teams are the teams that are going to make it. KC, Buffalo, Steelers, Houston, Los Angeles, Baltimore, and Denver. But if Indy were to get in, weirdly, I think I'd rather play the Ravens because you've had their number, and it'd be a whole mental thing. But Indy would have a lot of confidence coming in here. You feel like you're playing with house money. Shane Steichen knows what he's doing. Yeah, that's a good call. 412-928-9370. It is 927. Time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. The other thing about Buffalo, just to go back to the previous texter saying that they're the team that scares you the most. Man, it'd be so big if the Steelers get that number two seed. Like, I don't want to go to Buffalo. The way that they've had some success against the Chiefs in the regular season, but that place was banging the other day when Josh Allen ran that touchdown in and they won that football game. And it's just, you feel like every time they play a playoff game, it's like the 13 wild card game for the Pirates.
Yeah.
Like they know they're so close. They've been waiting for true greatness for so long. I would feel much better about Josh Allen and co, and really just Josh Allen coming up in here than having to go there.
Yeah. They're going to bring a lot of people with them, though. It's only a 3-hour drive.
They always do. And they do that cute thing that I actually like. Let's go, Buffalo. Let's go, Buffalo. That thing.
Hey.
Oh, that's what I'm looking for you.
Yeah.
I like that.
Me too.
I was once at a bar doing a pregame show at my previous station before a Steelers-Bills game. It was the Duck Hodges game. And every seat in the bar had a Duck Hodges-themed terrible towel. It's probably a violation of some sort of law. You probably can't print those things. I don't think they came out of the Steelers. But every single bar stool had one. And there were Bills fans everywhere. And the whole damn time, they were singing that song.
Uh-huh.
And Duck then threw four picks, and the rest is history.
Yep.
And the Steelers didn't make the playoffs.
Yep.
But I digress. All right, Jason Lockenfor is going to join us next. And there's a lot of nuts and bolts newsy stuff I want to get to with him. Deontay Johnson, what's the deal with him in Baltimore? Is Jameis going to be back in Cleveland? What's their plan there? And is Arthur Smith on a short list to be a head coach in the NFL at the end of the season? We'll talk to him about those things, among others, when we come back. Odyssey's NFL insider, Jason LaConfora. But first, the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
Time, I'm going to have to wait, just to clarify. There's some moving parts there that we're going to have to figure out and explore. and just see where we're at.
That's John Harbaugh talking about Deontay Johnson. Some moving parts there. Trouble in paradise, perhaps. And we're joined now by Odyssey NFL insider Jason LaConfora, host of the Odyssey original podcast, In the Huddle. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Jason, first off, good morning to you. And secondly, what the hell's going on with Deontay Johnson in Baltimore?
Good, that's for sure. I can move when they made it subtraction by addition, because I think you're making your wide receiver room worse. You're not really giving Lamar Jackson, I think, you know, any sort of real step up in weapon. They lose Rashad Bateman, and that's their best deep threat. Zay Flowers gets shut down in the second half. And Deontay Johnson's clearly not even a preferable option to Tylan Wallace or Nelson Aguilar. So I think the die's been cast for a while. He hasn't looked comfortable or, frankly, all that willing blocking the way they asked their receivers to block. He's had difficulty staying on his feet. He's fallen down. He's come up short in situations where he's needed to get out of bounds. And that's saying all that. The guy's had a very limited sample size, even on the football field. So to be able to come up with five or six minuses and no pluses, I think you look at the ledger and it's like, and then there's, you know, what is he bringing to chemistry? What is he bringing to the locker room? Does he do anything for you on special teams? And Lord knows they need help on special teams. So it's been a major nothing burger. It was too cute by half. You know, the GM's got a big ego. He likes to fix broken things and prove how smart he is sometimes. But he's good at the trade deadline of getting people who actually help this football team in areas that they need it most. So I don't think he'll be around here for long.
Jason, you know how you'll look through X and you'll see the doom and gloom, and especially when it has to do with your football team. And realistically, in your opinion, what should the Ravens do with Justin Tucker?
I think they need to bring in other kickers and at least have him go through what is the life of an NFL kicker. It's the life cycle of an NFL kicker. There becomes a time where, look, he's 28th in the league from 40 to 49. He's 31st in the league from 50 and above, and he hasn't made kicks above 48 since last year. Like, it's been going on since last year, and it's been pretty much all wide left, and then it gets wide left for over a calendar year. So what do you see? He overcompensates, and then it's wide right. These guys, like, there's a stage where you come in on a Tuesday morning and you kick for your job. And I'm not even saying that if he loses the kicking competition, you have to fire him. If it's close enough, you stick with him because of what he's done. But I think the process needs to get more real. And I think they need to start using this bye to actually evaluate other kickers, not just take some kid who you liked in college and put him on your practice squad, but bring in three, four, five guys, have them kick against each other. And then if we're doing it the way it should be done, the winner of that battle fights, you know, goes and has a kickoff with Tucker. It's late in the game. I get it. The state of kicking's terrible, and most teams have funneled through multiple kickers, so there's not as much out there. But I think they need to at least address their problem like the problem that it is, and that means evaluating other people.
Jason LaConfora joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Switching gears here, Arthur Smith was contacted by UNC to potentially be their head football coach. Do you think Arthur Smith could be an NFL head coaching candidate at the end of this season?
I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. There's going to be a bloodletting and, you know, good luck coming up with a list. Let's say there's eight or nine openings and every team's going to interview at least three guys. And a lot of them are going to interview, you know, six, seven. And yeah, there'll be some overlap, but just start putting a list together. And you know, if you get to eight that you feel really strong about, okay, but good luck getting to 16 or 24. So yeah, I think, he'll probably get some consideration how they finish, you know, and what this offense looks like. I mean, does Russell Wilson have a big playoff game? I mean, the way they've changed some of the rules about when you can and can't talk to people, you know, he may have a chance to put an exclamation point or two on his resume in the postseason. I think he will merit consideration. Will he absolutely positively get a job? No, I can't say that. I also think, you know, him in the college game would be kind of interesting. Like, I just don't know if the schmoozing with the donors and playing in the portal and having to recruit and re-recruit and keep recruiting. It's like, I don't know if that's necessarily his personality. There's so much in the college game that's really removed from the sport itself and the 3 hours on Saturdays in that case. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that he seems, you know, lukewarm at best about UNC. And I do think he'll have a chance to interview for some jobs.
Jason, who's the most dangerous AFC team if the playoffs would start tomorrow? Who would be the most dangerous team that you would not want to go against?
I mean, it's got to be the Buffalo Bills, right? I mean, they've torn off seven straight wins. They've scored 30 or more points in six straight games. They just got back one of the best coverage linebackers in the NFL, right, in Milano. They have a legitimate home field advantage, and there is the specter of extreme weather, which obviously we just saw the other night. They're better equipped to deal with as constructed now. In 2022, in 2021, not so much. Right now, they're probably built better to beat you in the snow than you're built to beat them in the snow, from the quarterback to the offensive line to the multiplicity in the run game. Now, styles make fights. And, like, if they had to face the Baltimore Ravens and the Baltimore Ravens leave the 310-pound fullback and the 260-pound running back on the field for 40-some plays, are they going to hold up?
Like,
they're a little light in the ass up front. Like, they don't have a whole bunch of two-gappers. So, like, I'm not saying they're infallible, and that's one particular matchup that I think, like, if Baltimore road grades them and holds the ball for 36 minutes and keeps Allen off the field and Lamar runs for 85 and Henry runs for a buck 55 and Justice Hill runs for 55, I'm not telling you that couldn't happen, but I think the Buffalo Bills are the best football operation in the AFC right now.
All right, last thing here for you, Jason. It might be too early for this conversation, but let's say Russell Wilson keeps playing the way he's playing. Are the Steelers going to have to win a bidding war for his services?
They could put the tag on him, couldn't they?
Guess they could.
Mm.
Oh, I like
right?
that.
I mean, yeah, you put a non-exclusive tag on him and you see where it goes, right? I mean, I think if he plays well enough, look, and I don't think he's going to play as poorly as he did in the snow in Cleveland very often. I also don't think he's going to put up 450 on everybody. Like, Cincinnati's a little bit of a different operation in how they play defense. But if he's anywhere in the middle of that and he's still not turning the ball over and they are getting explosion out of multiple players in that offense, you know, that franchise tag is maybe the single greatest tool that these franchises have in roster manipulation.
Jason, awesome stuff. As always, man, we really appreciate it. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds good, gentlemen. Thank you.
Take care.
Jason.
Jason LaConfora, Odyssey NFL Insider, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, In the Huddle. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious.
He brings up a good point about the Ravens going against the Bills and how they're not built for that matchup with Ricard in the backfield, 300-pound and then 260-pound running back. But the Steelers are built for that. And I think that the Ravens will use that mindset the next time around, is they will use Ricard and try to pound it. But Cam Hayward, that's how he earns his money. Like, the Bills are not built for that type of style football.
I agree with that. And the two biggest runs that Cincinnati had on Sunday were with Cam Hayward off the field.
Yep.
That 40-plus yarder, and then I think it was a 13-15 yarder, whatever it was. Cam Hayward was taking a blow. And you're going to get Montrevious Adams back, which is a bigger deal, I think, than people think, and stopping the run with Alex Highsmith. The Steelers did not lose, and I'm not saying Jason said this, but the Steelers did not lose to the Browns because they played in the snow.
No.
They did not.
No.
And I think that they are equipped to actually deal with the snow. Like, they lost that game in the first half when the conditions were okay.
They lost that game because they thought that they could just use a game plan to beat that team, go in, beat them, and just come back and just, okay, we took care of them. And I'm not saying they over or underestimated them at all, but I think that they had a simple game plan on a short week, and they thought they could get by with that, and it didn't.
I'm with you, and that's what it looks like when you run 17 out of 21 times on first down.
Yeah.
And what do we see against Cincinnati?
Way different.
The complete opposite. I think the Steelers are going to beat the Browns, but that's not really the point. The point would be, if the Steelers got to play a snow game, I don't mind it. My issue with Buffalo is that place is nuts.
Yeah.
And I would rather play in our nuts place than their nuts place. Speaking of nuts, how about the commissioner of Major League Friggin' Baseball? Have you seen this? Oh, my God. Didn't want to spend too much time on it today, but we do need to spend some time on it. Wait until you hear what Rob Manfred might have cooked up. He's social media's biggest loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. 50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Now for social media's biggest loser. We have spent 99.9% of today's show on football, as we will during football season. A little bit of Pitt basketball with Jeff. Mm-hmm. A little bit of Penguins with Mackie. We got to do the baseball thing here. Rob Manfred, commissioner of MLB, claims there's a buzz around the golden at-bat rule among MLB owners. And what that means is, at any time during the game, no matter who's up to plate, one time you get to declare as a manager, it's the golden at-bat, and whoever you want to hit can hit. So let's say bases are loaded, two outs, Bucks down three, G1 Bays up at the plate. You can say, nah, we got Brian Reynolds. Now, that scenario might make you smile, because who the hell wants G1 Bay up? But to me, Doran, it's too gimmicky. It's way too gimmicky. And it's just another decision that Derek Shelton has to make. Although, this should be an easy one.
Yeah. I absolutely love it.
What?
I love it. Okay, say that scenario, too. And then Shohei Ohtani, and say it's the Dodgers, and then the bases are loaded, and you can put Shohei Ohtani. I mean, that's why... He's made a lot of moves. Manfred's made a lot of moves, or made some moves that have worked.
He absolutely has.
And has made the game better.
He
and
has.
More watchable and more engaging, and he's continuing on that path of evolution of baseball. And I think that one time, it's not like you could do it every inning. It's not like you could do it, in the ninth inning. It's one time in the game. So, if you choose to do it in the fifth inning and it doesn't work, and then you have a scenario where you have bases loaded in the ninth inning and you're down three or whatever, and you wish that you... So, I like it. I think it is gimmicky, but I think it keeps the engagement at the level it is now, and maybe it might surpass it a little, because you'd be excited to see that one of the top guys go up again, even though they're five spots back in the order. And they're not going to even get a chance to even... be a part of the game at the end of the game.
But then there's no... Nick Gonzalez last year had so many of those clutch hits, right? And I'm not saying a star is born, but that's what... He cut his nuts, man. He got hair on his chest. This guy can be clutch. What if those at-bats get taken away because Brian Reynolds gets another shot?
What if they win the game with Brian Reynolds?
They won it with Nick Gonzalez, and now he's a star.
What if Nick Gonzalez has been hot all season? They choose Nick Gonzalez to be the guy.
Well, then that's
It'll be the hottest hand.
But guys like Drew Sutton, who had his cup of coffee with the Pirates, whose name I forgot, and I had to Google it. I Googled Sutton Pirates, who hit a walk-off homer for the Buccos way back when. Guys like that, you need the little guy coming up in a big moment to become a star.
You're the same guy that used to call out Austin Hedges. If Austin Hedges was in that position, you'd love the golden bat rule, because you know that he would strike out. If Austin Hedges, the Pirates are down so many runs, and if they get a hit, they win the game. And Austin Hedges is up. You're like, oh, they lost. But in this case, Austin Hedges sits down. Andrew McCutchen gets up.
How about we just don't roster Austin Hedges?
Just saying.
How about that?
Just saying. And yet that guy played in a World Series and won it last year and played in the American League Championship
this past
season.
Yes, he did.
Austin Hedges, what a leader. By moving his glove an eighth of an inch instead of a quarter of an inch. Yeah. What a hero that guy is.
He is.
I just think... a lot of the stuff that Manfred has instituted is antithetical to baseball history, and it has worked.
Yes.
The pitch clock has worked.
Yes.
The getting rid of the shifts has worked. I hate the stupid extra innings thing.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of hate it too, because they get rid of it in the postseason. This is more like that than... the other rules. This is more gimmicky, like ghost runners. And I can't get there. I am far from a baseball traditionalist. I like the designated hitter being in both leagues. I like a lot of what Rob Manfred did. I think you can probably make an argument, too, that this actually helps small market teams more, because they have less depth in their lineup and thus less good hitters to be up in those situations. So maybe I could be talked into it, but at first blush, without having read a whole hell of a lot into it, I just think... yeesh. And imagine Derek Shelton, though, doing it, dude, with a runner on second and one out and getting your best bunter up. Let's use the golden at bat to use bunt. Who can drop down a bunt?
They can't bunt. They couldn't, at least.
We might need to talk about this more in long form. We probably didn't leave enough time to debate this to get people's opinion on it. I'm sure Starkey will.
I love it. I love it.
I wonder whenever he says that there's buzz around it, like how much buzz?
Or no, he's creating the buzz.
I was just going to say, this is one of those trial balloon things where like, you lick your finger and stick it up, see which way the wind's blowing, and just see where people come down on the court of public opinion.
What did he say? There's buzz around owners?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the owners are traditionalists, usually. You think there's buzz around them changing the game?
I don't know. I guess, because you made a great point about all the things Manfred's done, and I'm sure the owners are happy about the state of baseball today.
You're getting your money's worth, too. Get your best players up there.
Instead of getting to see Brian Reynolds four times.
Michael A. Taylor.
To see him five.
Like, what?
Yeah. I might be able to get moved off of this. But first blush, I think, man, is that wild to me.
Jack Sawinski's been in a slump for 18 years, and he's up the bat to win the game, and you want to keep him in there. Or you could put in
McCutcheon. How are you going to develop as a young, aspiring...
By not hitting one extra hit, one extra at-bat?
I have to agree with Doran on this one. I mean, it's one at-bat in a whole game.
Yes, but it's the most costly at-bat. It's the most important at-bat.
And if you're the Pirates,
we know David Ortiz can come up in the clutch.
Hitters still fail 7 out of 10 times, too, so... It's not like you're guaranteed success with this one at-bat.
Why is David Ortiz a legend? He's a legend because he comes through in these biggest moments. I want to see what guys can do in the biggest moments. I don't want to just plug a guy in that we know is good in the big moments. This is how Neil Walker was great with runners in scoring position because he was able to hit with runners in scoring position. And when it's the ninth inning and the base is loaded and Neil Walker's up, we take him out and put Andrew McCutcheon in.
But it wouldn't be, I mean, they'll still have their opportunities to do that.
I don't like it.
Because
Callis is on the other side now, I cannot be moved off the spot. You almost had me, but now I don't like...
I did almost have you. I don't like
your allies.
I did. I was so close.
There's still 26 other outs to get, other than that one.
We're talking
saying.
About this tomorrow.
We are. All right. It's going to do it for us today. That was a fun show today. We hit on a lot of stuff. Kept it moving. Everyone pray for Jameis Winston.
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
We'll talk to Inns tomorrow at 5:40. Starkey up next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here. The Chevy Red Tag event. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 33.